listeners, if my last episode truly creeped you out like it did me, then you're in for an even deeper chill tonight. That story, the brutal Halloween murders of Ronald Sisman and Elizabeth Platzman, left me unsettled for days, and I really hope you enjoyed it. If you haven't listened yet, pause right now and go back. It's important. But here's the quick gist to get you up to speed. On October 31st, Halloween night, 1981, in a cozy Chelsea apartment in Manhattan, 39-year-old photographer Ronald Sisman and his 20-year-old guest Elizabeth Platzman were savagely shot, execution style, in the head. Sisman's apartment was torn apart, like the killers were hunting for something specific. The bodies were found the next morning, and to this day, the case remains unsolved. But here's the thing that haunted me most after recording it. One detail I barely scratched the surface on and couldn't stop thinking about. David Berkowitz, the infamous son of Sam serial killer, and his possible ties to it all. He couldn't have done the murders himself. He'd been locked up in prison since 1977. But while sitting in his cell, far from any chance of pulling a trigger, he told someone exactly what was going to happen before it did. He claimed a satanic cult he was part of, the Children, a dangerous offshoot of the Process Church, with shadowy links even to Scientology, was sending hitmen to silence Ronald Sisman. But why would they do that? Because Ron had damning evidence, a snuff film capturing one of Berkowitz's own killings. They had to destroy it. This theory exploded in the 2021 Netflix docuseries, The Sons of Sam, A Descent into Darkness, which premiered on May 5th of that year and follows journalist Maury Terry's 40-year quest to prove Berkowitz didn't act alone. Welcome to True Crime Sleep Stories. Tonight, we're diving deep into a satanic nightmare that I only teased at last time. Get ready to prove Maury Terry right. Berkowitz was telling the truth, and the darkness runs so much deeper. Before we slip into tonight's tale, I want to take a moment to thank you, our listeners, for being here with us in the dark. If you're loving True Crime Sleep Stories, please consider giving us a 5-star rating and review on your favorite podcast platform. It helps us reach more listeners and keep these haunting tales coming your way. And if you'd like to go a step further, you can become a Patreon member at patreon.com/KellyBrink. There, you'll get ad-free episodes and exclusive bonus content to feed your true crime curiosity. Now, we're going to hear briefly from our sponsors before we dive into your uninterrupted story for tonight. We'll be right back after this. Welcome back to True Crime Sleep Stories. Now, settle in, get comfy under those covers, because tonight we're plunging even deeper into the shadows of my last episode's nightmare. The Sisman-Platzman story gripped me so hard I had to come back for more, focusing on the Berkowitz cult connection I barely touched last time, the one detail that wouldn't let me sleep. Let's rewind to that fateful Halloween night in 1981, just as I laid it out in my last episode. Ronald Sisman was a 39-year-old photographer running two businesses from his third-floor duplex at 207 West 22nd Street in Chelsea, Manhattan, blocks from Greenwich Village. Elizabeth Platzman, a 20-year-old art student from Smith College, was visiting him. They were together in the apartment when the killers arrived. No forced entry means they likely knew or trusted whoever knocked. What came next was unrelenting brutality. The attackers beat them severely, leaving faces and bodies covered in bruises. Then they fired execution-style shots to the backs of their heads at close range. The killers ransacked the place, ripping apart furniture, and scattering chaos everywhere. Investigators couldn't take a step without crunching debris. Missing were Sisman's registered .25 caliber pistol, probably the murder weapon, and both victims' driver's licenses. The bodies turned up the next morning, November 1st, with the door left ajar. Drug rumors swirled about cocaine and marijuana debts, but nothing was ever proven. The case remains unsolved today. If you caught my last episode, you know those details. But tonight, we're not rehashing all of that. We're diving straight into what kept me awake. The satanic cult link through David Berkowitz, the son of Sam, serial killer. Investigative journalist Maury Terry nailed it. Berkowitz told the truth. Let's explore how a caged serial killer predicted this murder from his cell and exposed a cult called the Children as the true monsters. David Berkowitz, the son of Sam, terrorized New York from July 1976 to July 1977. He shot 13 people with a .44 caliber revolver, killing six. He taunted columnist Jimmy Breslin with letters blaming a demon dog named Harvey, owned by his neighbor, Sam Carr. Police nabbed him in August 1977. He's been serving 300 years to life ever since, completely unable to touch the Sisman Plattsman murders 4 years later. But in the weeks before Halloween 1981, the impossible happened. Berkowitz pulled a fellow inmate aside in his upstate prison. He confided, "A ritual killing is coming soon in a residence near Greenwich Village. The victims will be shot in the head. The place will be ransacked." Let that sink in. Chelsea sits right near Greenwich Village. Headshots? Exact match. Ransacked apartment? Spot on. And it all went down on Halloween, a high holy day for satanic rituals. The inmate knew something was wrong. He held those words close. Then the murders exploded in the news. He became a police informant and called authorities immediately. Detectives hauled Berkowitz in for questioning. He didn't flinch. He doubled down, explaining that his cult associates, called the Children, carried it out. Their motive? To silence Ronald Sisman for good. Berkowitz claimed Sisman owned a snuff film, a raw video of his final Son of Sam murder, the July 31st, 1977, shooting of Stacy Moskowitz during her Lover's Lane date in Brooklyn. How did Sisman get it? He either filmed it himself from a hidden vantage point with his photographer's skill, or scored it through underground drug world connections. Facing drug charges, Sisman was ready to flip. He'd hand the film to cops for leniency or sell it to the highest bidder. Either way, it doomed the cult. That footage didn't just show a killing, it could unravel their whole empire. Ritual murders, coast-to-coast drug trafficking, hardcore porn rings, and illegal weapons from New York to California to the Midwest. The Children couldn't risk it leaking. In that prison interrogation, Berkowitz spilled unreleased details only the killers could know. The savage beatings, the frantic ransacking, even the apartment's layout. How? Pure foreknowledge. No lucky media guess. He called it before it all happened. Detectives sat stunned. This wasn't madness. It was a blueprint for conspiracy. Enter Maury Terry, the journalist who lived and breathed this story. An award-winning Iona College grad, he covered MLK's assassination and edited at IBM. From day one, he smelled lies in Berkowitz's 1977 confession. Eyewitness sketches didn't match Berkowitz at all. A crime scene note read, "John Wheaties, rapist, bandit." NYPD insiders whispered off record he didn't act alone. Queens DA John Santucci agreed there were accomplices. Terry dug for a full decade. He interviewed Berkowitz, who confirmed the cult in letters and talks. He spoke to survivors, inmates, and cops. His 1987 book, The Ultimate Evil, published by Doubleday, revised in 1999, and re-released in 2021 by Quirk Books, with Joshua Zeman's intro, lays it bare. Berkowitz wasn't a lone wolf. He was a pawn for the Children, a well-funded satanic cult splintered from Britain's Process Church of the Final Judgment. So, what was the Process Church? Founded in the 1960s London, it preached apocalyptic end times, mixing Christianity, Satanism, and occult rites. Scientology ties were undeniable. The founders Robert and Marianne de Grimston rubbed shoulders with L. Ron Hubbard's crowd. And Manson family links? Charles Manson echoed their Final Judgment talk during the 1969 Tate-LaBianca murders. Maury Terry showed how the Children broke off as a violent sect. They staged ritual killings as sacrifices, embedding coded messages. Berkowitz's demon dog Harvey? No delusion, just cult code for animalistic rites. Sam Carr's sons, John and Michael from Yonkers, Berkowitz's old stomping ground, were key enforcers. John Carr died suspiciously in 1978. Michael followed in 1980. Both ruled suicides, but they screamed cult cleanup. Terry wove the Sisman hit into a national nightmare. Take Arliss Perry, for instance, stabbed in a 1974 Stanford church with satanic symbols carved nearby. Those were Process Church hallmarks. The 1969 Tate-LaBianca slayings echoed the Children's apocalypse preaching. Other ritual murders spanned California, North Dakota, the Midwest, linked by symbols, dates, and weapons, all just a high society cover. Maury Terry exposed occult insiders and elites bankrolling it all, their power hiding the darkness. The missing pistol became a cult trophy or disposal tool. The driver's licenses, ritual markers, the beatings, a prelude to invoke terror as an offering. Josh Zeman's 2021 Netflix docuseries, The Sons of Sam, A Descent into Darkness, premiered May 5th of that year. Hollywood's Paul Giamatti voiced Terry in the show. Zeman cracked open Terry's files after his 2015 death, calling him the last victim of obsession. The series delivers tense footage and jaw-dropping interviews. Critics raved. Den of Geek deemed it compelling, exquisitely inconclusive, and long overdue. Thrillist called it startling and tense. Rotten Tomatoes gave it 58%. The Chicago Sun-Times praised its gripping dive into Maury Terry's quest. Zeman's podcast probes privilege, but why no arrests? Screen Rant flagged minor omissions, but the heart of it stands solid. Skeptics yell, satanic panic, that 1980s fad conjuring fake cults. No snuff film ever surfaced from Sisman's apartment. Friends and family denied cult ties or knowing Berkowitz. The Process Church rejected all violence. Berkowitz went Christian in the 1990s, penning remorseful faith site letters with zero new info. Goodreads scores Ultimate Evil a 3.7 out of 5, a true crime cult classic for its pulse-pounding prose, docked for speculation and hearsay. Maury Terry shone as a satanic expert on Geraldo. The case stays frozen, no reopenings, but we're sticking with Maury Terry and David Berkowitz. That prediction seals it. There is absolutely no way to explain it away. It was documented weeks earlier, a ritual killing near Greenwich Village, the headshots, the ransacking. It unfolded exactly as Berkowitz said, the informant confirmed every word. Unreleased details locked it in. Sizman's photo world was an ideal snuff film pipeline. Plus, the drug whispers, a cult trafficking mask, the door left ajar, a taunting nod to Berkowitz's letters. As of 2020, he still claims cult ties. Insiders nod in agreement. This wasn't random. It was commanded. Picture the cult's inner circle. Hooded enforcers plotting in Yonkers basements, twisting processed church hymns into death chants. Berkowitz, their ex-trigger man turned informant, leaks info from his cell. Sizman's the loose end, film hidden, now burned to ash. Elizabeth pays the ultimate price as collateral, just for being in the wrong place at the wrong time. Maury Terry's decade of tapes, letters, and survivor accounts build an unbreakable web. Zeman pores over files. The evil's real. Halloween, 1981, was the children's boldest strike, showing their grip. The wildest part? Chained and powerless, Berkowitz engineered the exposure. He wanted us to know. He fed the inmate detailed information that he knew would blow it open. Revenge on the cult? Internal split? Doesn't matter. It worked. Maury Terry died chasing truth, but his files live on. The shadows murmur. They're still out there, watching, waiting for the next ritual. Breathe slow now. Feel those prison bars tighten? That's Berkowitz's voice, whispering truths you can't unhear. And with that, our descent into this Halloween horror fades back into the unsolved shadows of New York history. Ronald Sizman and Elizabeth Platzman, lives cut short in a ritual execution to safeguard a satanic empire's secrets. As I said in my opening, my last episode on their murders really disturbed me, but I knew I couldn't leave it there. I had to go several steps further tonight, zeroing in on the one thing that obsessed me, David Berkowitz's eerie prison prediction and the satanic children cult link. From his cell, he nailed it. The headshots, the ransacking, the desperate hunt for that snuff film of his final victim, Stacy Moskowitz. Maury Terry devoted 40 years to proving it in The Ultimate Evil and the Netflix series, The Sons of Sam, A Descent into Darkness. Berkowitz was probably telling the truth. This spin-off of the Process Church tied to Scientology's fringes pulled every string. No arrests, no recovered film, but that foreknowledge that Berkowitz had, undeniable. Sleep tight now, listeners. You've peered into the abyss tonight. Thank you for joining me in the dark. True Crime Sleep Stories is hosted and created by Kelly Brink, produced with the support of our dedicated team. Subscribe, rate, and review us on your favorite podcast platform to help us keep telling these haunting tales. Visit patreon.com/kellybrink for exclusive content and to join our community. Thank you for listening, and we'll meet you in the shadows next time. Until then, stay safe out there and lock your doors. Good night.